Adventures in Research. In the Hall of Fame of Science, the list of men and women who have risked their lives and often lost them is a very long one. One of them is the late Professor Maxwell Lefroy, a British chemist who lost his life searching for a chemical to control the common housefly. This is Paul Shannon bringing you another transcribed story of science produced as a public service in cooperation with the Westinghouse Research Laboratories. And today bringing you the story of Professor Maxwell Lefroy and his death through misadventure. On December 12, 1925, in London, England, the Westminster coroner, Mr. Ingleby Oddy, held an inquest regarding the circumstances of the untimely death of Maxwell Lefroy, then professor of chemistry at the Imperial College of Science and Technology.
His Majesty's Court is prepared to hear testimony required for this inquest. Clerk of Court will summon the first witness.
Mr. Francis McLean Scott, here?
Mr. Scott, do you swear that the facts you are about to reveal at this inquest are the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help you God?
I do.
The first witness, sir.
Your name, please.
Francis McLean Scott.
And your occupation?
A tobacconist at Cartwright's and Ransom's.
Where do you reside?
Stanhope Gardens. That's a small residential hotel on the West End, near the park.
This is the same address as the late Professor Lefroy's?
It is, sir. He lived right across the hall, third floor rear. We was neighbors.
In precisely what manner were you acquainted with the deceased?
Like I said, sir, we was neighbors. The professor and his wife, fine couple they were, nice and friendly. Many times they'd invite me over for a cup of tea.
Would you please tell the court what occurred on December 6th?
Well, I'm a bachelor and live alone. I'd just come home from work, made myself a bite of lunch, and was just about ready to sit down and eat when...
What time of day was this?
1 o'clock, I'd say.
Continue, Mr. Scott.
I always reads the papers when I eat alone. So here I was, scanning the sporting page of the Morning Enterprise. I was interested in the score of the cricket match between Brighton and Liverpool AC, when suddenly I hears a thud, like a body falling on the stairs. I ran to my door, opened it. Professor Lefroy, what happened? Is there anything wrong, sir?
Help me to my door.
Come now. Arm around my shoulder. That's it. Steady now. That's fine. A few more steps. Here you are, right to your door.
My key in the right pocket.
Righto. Now then, shall I take you to the bedroom?
No, no. The couch in here. That's fine.
Perhaps I'd better call a doctor.
No, I shall be perfectly all right.
Mrs. Lefroy, is she...
She's visiting friends. Mr. Scott, would you mind opening a window?
It's frightfully cold outside, you know.
I know, but I need air. Inhaled too much vapor.
How's that? Had enough?
Fine. Thank you. You've been so kind.
And what happened then?
I made him comfortable, took off his boots, opened his collar, untied his tie. And the professor kept repeating he was all right, but when he tried to stand, he got giddy, staggered, and fell back on the couch. He lay there, breathing heavily. Then he mumbled something that did sound rather peculiar.
What was that?
We said, the little beggars have got the best of me this time.
Had you any idea to what Professor Lefroy was referring?
No, sir. At the time, I didn't.
Continue, Mr. Scott.
we finally fell asleep. I was in a quandary whether to call a doctor or not. But Mrs. Lefroy was expected home soon, so I returned to my rooms.
What time was this?
3:45 or so. At 5:30, I looked in again. There was the professor sitting up near the fire, reading a novel. Feeling better, Professor?
Much better, thank you.
I see Mrs. Lefroy hasn't come home yet.
Not yet. And I must return to the college. There are certain things I must lock up in my laboratory.
But you shouldn't go back alone.
Oh, I must. I shan't be gone long. A half hour at the most.
Tell you what, Professor. Mind if I trot along? I've never seen one of these scientific laboratories.
You're most welcome, Mr. Scott. Be glad to have company.
Well, Professor Lefroy, why do scientists always work in attics?
As soon as you've caught your breath, Mr. Scott, I'll show you around.
Oh, where's that coming from? That buzzing.
Overhead.
That wire cage?
That's my fly farm.
Flies?
Fruit flies, horse flies, gnats, fleas. I breed them for my experiments. I'm concentrating now on the ordinary housefly.
For what purpose?
The ordinary housefly, Mr. Scott, because of its proximity to man, is a carrier of certain germs and contaminating disease.
Uh-huh.
I am searching for a harmless chemical which will destroy flies. Suppose I show you.
To the scientifically uninitiated Mr. Scott, Professor Lefroy explained the nature of his experiment. He showed him the small poison chamber into which he permitted flies from the overhead cage to enter. Then he attached a jar containing a wood oil chemical to a vaporizing machine and thrust the nozzle for the spray into the chamber.
I've shut the door of the chamber so none of the vapor will escape. Now we're ready. Mr. Scott, I suggest you observe the flies through that small window.
Righto.
I shall start the vaporizing machine. How are the flies behaving, Mr. Scott?
Oh, I can't see a thing. The room's full of vapor.
It will settle soon.
Ah, it's fairly clear now.
And the flies?
By Jove, all dead. Every single blighter. So that's your experiment, eh? A gas to kill flies. Well, Professor, you've certainly found it.
Not quite yet. There are many chemicals which exterminate flies, but are also injurious to humans and house pets. For example, that wood oil chemical I was experimenting with this morning.
Is that what made you faint on the stairs?
Yes. Foolishly, I entered the chamber before it was sufficiently ventilated. Got a great deal of vapor in my lungs.
Dangerous work, Professor.
I dilute the chemicals, and they become dangerous only if one absorbs too much vapor in the lungs. Speaking of chemicals, do you see that brown bottle on that upper shelf? Now, there's a chemical that's positively destructive. Two whiffs of that one, Mr. Scott, and neither of us would survive 5 seconds.
Oh, lovely thought, Professor. Shouldn't we be starting back? It's getting late.
I have some correspondence to attend to. You go on without me, Mr. Scott.
Sure you're feeling all right?
Perfectly all right.
Thus ended Mr. Scott's testimony. The last he saw of Professor Lefroy was when he came downstairs to see him off. The next witness to testify at the inquest was George Charles Sturton, doorkeeper of the Imperial College of Science and Technology.
Mr. Sturton, will you tell the court what happened that night of December 6th?
I'd be glad to. As usual, on my rounds in the buildings, I went to Professor Lefroy's laboratory.
What time of day was this?
About 7.
Did you see or hear anything that might suggest things were out of the ordinary?
No, sir, that I didn't. I heard no sound or movement, and none of the lights was on. I checked the whole building and went on my way. About 8 o'clock, my phone rings. Doorkeeper Stutton here.
This is Mrs. Lefroy. Is my husband in his laboratory?
No, Mum. He ain't. I just come from there.
Are you sure?
I am, Mum. Nobody's up there.
But he must be. He's not home. The only place I can think where he might be is his laboratory.
Well, to make you happy, I'll go back and check again.
Would you please? And wait for me. I'll be right over.
See, Mrs. Lefroy, like I told you, nobody here.
But I don't understand. I can't imagine where he could be. He's usually home every evening at this hour. Oh, the chamber. Mr. Stratton, did you look into the chamber where he conducts his experiments?
No, come to think of it, I didn't. But the door's locked from the inside.
Is that unusual?
Well, it's never been locked before. Now, it's no use. The door's locked and I haven't a key.
Listen. I thought I heard someone moaning.
Somebody's in there, all right.
He's in there. Open the door quickly. Get him out.
Then I'll have to break the window.
Maxwell, do you hear me? Maxwell, are you all right?
When I finally got into that chamber, there he was. Professor Lefroy lying face down on the floor. There was an irritating smell in the chamber. Made me catch my breath. I finally unlocked the door and dragged him out. Unconscious he was.
Following doorkeeper Sturton, final testimony was submitted by Dr. Scott Edwards, house physician at St. George's Hospital.
From Dr. Edwards' report, it appears that the deceased, having suffered an overdose of vapor poisoning earlier in the day, obviously returned to his experiment again that evening, this time exposing himself to a second and more dangerous inhalation of poison vapor, which proved fatal. Death was due to cardiac failure brought on by edema and failure of the lungs. This court, after hearing all the testimony into the circumstances which led to the demise of one Professor Maxwell Lefroy, late professor of chemistry at the Imperial College, hereby closes this inquest with the following verdict. Death through misadventure.
Thus ended the work of Professor Maxwell Lefroy, a brilliant research chemist who worked very much alone and did not disclose the nature of the substances with which he was experimenting. But his purpose was no secret, nor was the zeal with which he pursued it, a zeal which brought to an untimely end his unselfish adventure in research. And that's today's Adventures in Research, produced in cooperation with the Westinghouse Research Laboratories. These programs are broadcast to Armed Forces personnel overseas through the facilities of the Armed Forces Radio Service. Join us again next week for another transcribed story of science on Adventures in Research.